to get intimate with Checkpoint Intimates.
Yes, you are listening to another episode of Checkpoint Intimates, where two of the Checkpoint team get one-on-one and get real intimate, but not in that kind of gross way, more in like we're going to spar, like a real intimate spar, like frenemies. Yeah. My name is Cameron.
We're going to tussle on the ground.
And I've made this weird.
Yeah.
And I'm joined by someone who's hopefully going to redeem us and bring us out of the weird. It's Edie.
You have false hope. Hey, yes, hello.
Yeah, no, I know. It's a doomed... Any episode with you and I is doomed to get into some real awkward territory.
Yep.
Yeah, that's fair. But today we're talking about something that brings a lot of comfort, I feel, to me. I don't know if it's the same for you, but we're talking about replayability of games and games that we just keep going back to again and again.
Yeah, and I'm exactly the same. I love replaying games that I've replayed multiple times.
Yeah, like,
it's such a comfort.
Yeah, I know what's happening. I know the story beats, and I play it almost the exact, in a lot of like RPGs, I'll play it the exact same way as well.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes I'll be like, oh, this time I'm going to be mean. And then three minutes in, I'm like, being mean is not nice.
I have the weirdest moral compass as soon as I'm in a video game. I feel like in my day to day, I'm an all right person that can be a bit like self-serving. Some reason I get into video games and all of a sudden I'm like, oh no, like this digital person, I want them to like me and I don't want people to be angry at me in this digital fake imaginary world.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do everything. I'm going to do all the side quests so that they're their happiest version of themselves. And I'm never going to be mean, even if I tell myself I'm playing a renegade shepherd this time. You better believe I never punch that reporter. Mm. I never do it. I can't do it to myself.
But you don't give a crap about real people, though. Just digital people.
Some
real people.
Like, the jury's out on real people, to be honest. Like, take them or leave them, some of them. But it's that idea of going back and replaying a game that I don't think was necessarily always... Like, okay, so have a look at today, right? So many games are kind of tied into and intrinsically focused on the idea of replayability and the idea of keeping you in a never-ending loop. I'm talking things like your MMOs, me playing Destiny. It has no finish line, and the finish line will keep moving. It's designed, and a lot of modern games, you know, in that kind of multiplayer online kind of world, are designed in such a way that there is... no end. So you can't ever really replay it.
Right. You're only ever playing it.
Yeah. But at the same time, its basic gameplay loop is never ending repetitive replay.
So like, you're effectively replaying it, but since you never, there's no finish state.
Yeah. It's
by like, nature, you can't be replaying
it. It's like a la carte replayability. Yeah. I'm taking bits of the menu, not the full buffet.
Yeah.
You know, I'm replaying this mission over and over because the game tells me, okay, so this is the weekly story mission that you replay to get the good gear. Replay this mission.
Yeah.
But I'm not there going, now I'm going to boot up the game from start to finish.
Yeah, I'm not choosing a new save file, starting again from the beginning from scratch, yeah.
And so I feel like what we're talking about, you'll see it happen a lot more with games from our past, as opposed to a lot of modern games. There are a few modern games, but I also feel like stuff like Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah, that's not a game that you replay.
No, I finished that and went, cool, I never need to play this game again. God. Because it's so long.
Yeah.
But...
And even other games, though, like, that they'll say as one of the selling points that it has, like, multiple choices. So, like, there's replayability. But are these games really the games that we go back and play? Or is it just Banjo-Kazooie for the 20th time?
So, okay. So, let's go through a list. I want to know, Edie.
Mm.
I want you to name five games that you replay a little too much.
Yeah.
And if you can tell me, give me a roundabout how many times you think you've played them.
Okay.
We'll go back and forth.
Okay. So, I do go back and... I have replayed The World Ends With You three times, which is a very... That sounds small, but it's a JRPG, honestly.
So they're long.
So they are long-ass games. So that's a hefty game to go back and replay. However, in terms of... It's one of those games where you can just replay the story from start to finish without restarting your save. So in that sense, I have replayed that story like... it's got to be like 20 times.
Okay.
Then...
Wait, I'm going to jump in with one.
Mm-hmm.
So Final Fantasy 12, I've played 4 times.
Wow.
And it's usually like a slight variation on it. Like I played it when it originally launched and then I replayed it when I could get a PC port that gave us the Zodiac system. And then there was the HD Zodiac re-release and I replayed it twice. And that's probably the, like, that's a long game as well. So again, yeah,
how many
hours
would you say did it take you to finish the first time?
Because I also am a completionist each time.
Right.
So I would say the first time was way longer for sure.
Sure.
100 hours, easy.
Yeah.
I think after that, maybe I would have been able to, like, nestle down to a sweet 80.
But
that's still a lot.
Oh, it's still a long time.
Yeah. But it was more that, like, then I knew the streamline of how to level up faster, how to find the best items.
Well, this is it. Like, the first time you play a game, of course, it's going to take you ages because this is the first time you've ever played it, so everything's new. Then the more you replay it, of course, the faster you get.
Exactly. So, I'm super excited to reveal some of... That's one of my, I think, my lower-end ones. I'm really excited for you to discover what some of my high-tier stuff is. So let's hear your number two, the second game, in no particular order.
Yeah.
But your second game.
My second game, gotta be Luigi's Mansion 1.
Ooh,
replayed that over and over and over and over again. Probably, I have definitely replayed this one more times than I have The World Ends With You.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see a theme with my games that I replay. It's just very short and sweet games that are
punchy, easy
to replay. And that's what I like. That's what makes me so comforted by them is that I can finish them. I can have the experience again and I can finish them. And, you know, just such an enjoyable game from my childhood. Again, another game easy to replay.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Cool. I will jump in here then with Shadow of the Colossus.
Oh, really?
So Shadow of the Colossus, which when you think about it, is a very tight experience.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit lengthy, but again, it's that thing, once you know what you're doing, it's very easy to jump in there. But I have played that, I would say, I'm going to go with a guesstimate of 9 times.
Wow.
From start to finish.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Oh God.
Do you cry about the horse every time?
No, because I know the first time I cried about the horse, but then I know the horse is fine. So after that,
I go,
oh, horsey. Oh, I'll go.
Oh, yeah.
I go, oh.
But I'm not emotional,
but I am like, he had a traumatic experience and I feel sad about that for him.
Yeah, but that's it, yeah.
But like, that's the kind of game where, again, once you know where they are, but there's just a majesty to that game. And I would say probably 4 times was on the original, 5 on the HD re-release.
Yeah.
Which you may remember is only... Oh, no, I'd say... No, because there was another one as well. There's been 3 releases of it.
Yeah.
And so I'd say 4 on the original when it first came out, probably 3 on the one that was on the PlayStation 3, I think it was. And then the PlayStation 4 had a full, like, remake.
Yeah.
And I've played that one twice all the way through.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's the majesty of these games where I'm just like, I know the experience I'm going to get and I know it's going to leave me flawed because that is in my top 5 games of all time.
Yeah.
And there's a reason I keep returning to it.
Yeah.
Okay. What's next?
My next one, I'm going to shake it up from more like kid-friendly games and I'm going to go to the BioShock series I replay quite a bit.
Actually, yeah, no, that's fair.
Because, you know, like you say, this is another experience where you know exactly what you're going to get.
Yeah, you're going to get premium.
Twists, yeah, the twists are still punchy. They still get you.
Yeah.
But it's the... great, one of those great experiences where, like, you replay it and you notice more, like, little things. Like, you notice more times where he says, would you kindly? And
oh, I love that replay when you're just like, oh, he just said it about the most monotonous thing.
Yeah, like, you don't even notice when he was saying it before.
The effortlessness. And I think that's a big thing is, we've had this conversation before where I don't mind spoilers because I think if a twist is written well, it still lands.
Yeah.
You still feel the weight of it in the world. And I think that's an important thing. If a twist has no weight in the world, it means nothing.
Mm-hmm.
If the twist is in the world and it affects the people in the world and you get their effect, then I don't care if I know the result. I'm more about the moment.
Sure. For me, I don't like to hear spoilers because, sure, like it, I will be glad if the twist still leaves me with the intended emotional response. However, like, I just, I want to experience that emotional response without having known beforehand. Because just as the characters in the game would react. Like, yeah. I don't want to know before the characters in the game know.
But I just think, like, with knowing the twist that happens in Bioshock, it's written so well it resonates beyond being a moment like that.
It's not an immediate killer. Which is a really important thing. If it's an immediate killer, well... It wasn't that great anyway.
Well, I feel like that's what happened with Infinite for me. I would never replay that because I feel like so much was hinged on the mystery of what is going on here. And as soon as I knew,
I still love replaying. That's still on my list for replays because I love Booker and Elizabeth. They were such a cool duo.
Their chemistry was, I think, one of the few redeeming factors of that game for me.
Oh, I liked it for more reasons just than that.
Oh, no, I did not, but we'll get into that another time, I'm sure. My next one, I'm going to go with, again, a fairly recent one, and one that I actually will stand on a pedestal and scream that it is the pedigree of its genre. I think it is possibly one of the best examples of how to do a first-person shooter, and it is definitely one. It is the best first-person shooter on current generation consoles. Titanfall 2.
Oh yeah. Heard about that one.
Titanfall 2 is just so fun to play, and even just doing the story missions, the single player, it is so polished. It is so easy to fly through, and it's just fun. And that's a big thing that it's. Think first-person shooters kind of miss sometimes is just to be punchy and fun.
Yep.
Like, the set pieces are so varied and different in Titanfall. You get to play around with that so much more. Mm-hmm. So I just feel like it's just so much enjoyment out of just jumping in and running through the mission. And again, they've got a great companionship story happening between male protagonist, whose name I don't remember, even though I've played it quite a bit, and BB, B8. Yeah, and he, I think I've played that game, I'm going to go with like 5, maybe 4 times. So I've enjoyed it quite a bit. And it's, again, if your game is well made, I want to keep playing it. All right, next one.
Okay. Look, I would be really remiss if I didn't mention it. Sorry, it's Detroit Become Human.
I knew this was coming, though. This is like, when I mentioned this to you out the front, I'm like, Detroit Become Human is going to come up.
Well, I mean, but if we're talking about games that we've replayed far more often that is probably reasonable, then of course it's going to come up for me.
Yeah.
Just because, first of all, I'm really interested in that style of game, just like cinematic. Mm-hmm. It's really easy to play through again because most of it is just watching cool cutscenes that admittedly look great with an awesome cutscene and mostly good acting.
And I'd also say you're actually rewarded in that game for experimentation.
Exactly. Like, this is definitely Quantic Dream's best attempt at making a game where the choices you make actually change what happens in the story.
Because the other game
changes a lot.
The other game's kind of like you'll lose a chapter because a character will step out early.
Yeah, but that's it doesn't the change main beyond thing that changes. Some dialogue things here and there. But I went through my first playthrough and I was like, okay, I'm sure I missed some things, but I'm sure I didn't miss too much. And then I see on YouTube that there's this whole other path you can go down. And I was like, oh my God. I had no idea this bit was even there. So that is one sense in which the replayability that they're marketing it with actually comes into my replayability.
Yep.
On the opposite side, once I really have seen all the scenes, I don't think I'm going to come back to it as much. Yep.
Well, is it also one, I've only played it a little bit, so I'm still unaware of the mechanics. Can you jump in at any point and replay from that point, or do you have to do a start to finish replay?
There are fairly frequent checkpoints, not as many checkpoints as I'd like, to be honest, but you don't literally have to start from the beginning of a chapter.
And that was my worry.
Yeah,
cool. All right. So
go ahead.
We're getting into the territory where I think you're going to have reactions to what I say.
Okay.
So my next one is one of my favorite games. And so we've recently spoken about this on the main show. Mm. So you might have a bit of an idea of what it is. But this one, so the top two are going to be these two games that I mentioned on the show last week. And that is, the first one being Dragon Age 2.
Dragon Age 2, yeah.
Yeah, so Dragon Age 2, which I consider one of my favorite games.
Mm-hmm.
And Dragon Age 2, as much as the hate that it gets from it, there's this, because of the very kind of easy take on the mechanics of the game.
Yeah.
I can very much autopilot this game.
Yeah.
And that's it brings a lot of joy to me to be able to do this autopilot. And I have played Dragon Age 2 from start to finish 10 times.
Yeah, well, I can imagine why you would do that. I would actually, I thought you were going to say Dragon Age Origins, and that's a game that you cannot put on autopilot.
No, but I reckon I've played that game about five times.
I figured you that would have been on your list as well.
Well, the thing is, Dragon Age as a whole is my favorite franchise.
Yeah, and there's a lot of replayability there, because not only do you have different options you can choose to be different people from
classes,
different backgrounds.
Races.
Yeah. And it changes a lot. It especially changes things in Origins.
Yep.
Doesn't change as much in
Two,
Dragon
not
Age
so much.
2,
because you only are human and you're the same family. The story is much more tied down, but I think, again, that is part of that real auto drive that I go into when I'm doing it, and I just there and I'm just like, sweet, I'm loving this, I'm having a great time.
Yeah.
And I try out different classes, but I know what I like in the classes. And so
And in Inquisition, it changes what some side quests you can do, but
it changes interaction that you have with certain characters. Yeah. It changes side quests. Outside of that, and even then, like, the side quests don't change that much, but it'll change like a lot of the table missions.
It'll change who you send to do the job. Yeah.
Yeah, it changes a lot of like the table missions
if
that
you're
you do.
An elf, don't send Cullen to your clan. Don't send him.
Oh, does he kill them all?
No, it's what they all die, but due to a miscommunication, the Dalish clan sees a bunch of armed Templars coming their way, and it's a bloodbath, and your whole clan dies.
Oh,
spoilers,
good.
But that's just like, don't do
right,
it.
Well, I didn't do that.
Okay.
I think I sent Josephine.
Yeah.
Because, like, if I had someone who, we need to delicately deal with someone, you sent Josephine.
Exactly.
But Inquisition is one that I've played a little bit, but I don't think I've ever finished because it has that bloat. It has that glut right at the beginning as well. So you jump in and you go, yeah, I'm really enjoying this. And then you're just about, I'd say like 10 hours in, I'm just like, oh, God, I really wish this was a bit tighter and I could just like, oof. But I definitely love Inquisition. It's funny. I've started streaming recently. I'm on hold at the moment while I deal with both in my internet and having a new puppy.
Mm.
And the plan is I'm actually about to start a from start to finish Dragon Age stream of all content, including expansions and DLCs, to be ready for Dragon Age 4.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I'll watch that for sure.
But okay, so you've got your last one, and then I have the one that I think is going to floor you.
Okay, right, sure. So my last one, you got to give it out to Banjo-Kazooie. Oh, one of the best 3D platformers of all time, in my opinion, anyway. It's just so, like, each level has such, like, a fun theme, and it's just a fun romp through all of them to collect all the jiggies and all of the notes and all of the Jinjos and all of the Cheeto pages.
It's just a charming game.
And all of the honeycombs, don't forget them. Yeah, it's just really charming. The more you play it, the more you know where everything is, so you don't have to be annoyed that you don't know where it is. You know where it is.
Are you going
to
speed run it?
It's just fun to get to it. Oh God, no! You should watch Banjo because
I've watched a Banjo
because speed runs. God,
it's insane!
Insane!
It's up there with like some of the stuff you see when they're just playing with the idea of what a game can do, and you get that with a lot of the old Zelda ones as well, where it's like before people started to learn how they could avoid stuff like that happening.
Yeah,
and someone's like, "Oh yeah, I'm just gonna run through this mountain because I just hit it at right the angle."
One of my favorite speed runs. This is a bit of a tangent, but one of my favorite speed runs of all time is the Mario 64 one.
Oh yeah,
because the any percent run, which is when regardless of anything, you just finish it using as many glitches as you can.
Yep.
It takes literally 5 minutes, like 5 to 6 minutes.
It's insane,
and it's done.
Yeah. Those kind of things. Fine. How many times do you think you played Banjo-Kazooie?
I couldn't even begin to count because that's going back from when
well,
it actually
you've got
came
a lot
out.
Of that catalogue to work with there, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I've been replaying that game since I was 10, so there's just no way I've kept track.
I think the big problem I have is a lot of those old games won't appear in this because I don't boot up my old consoles. I have them, and I have it all, but I just don't boot them up.
But my friend has it on Xbox now, so that's what we replayed on.
Because that's the thing, like, a lot of these games that come up for me are ones that I'm very easily accessible now as well on PC. So, like, you know, the Dragon Age, all those other ones, like, they are accessible somewhere else. All right. So we've reached the point. And I need to reveal that it's Mass Effect 2.
Okay. Well, that's not that shocking.
Yep. Okay.
Okay.
I have played from start to finish.
Okay.
Quite often I also do DLC because I do all the DLC before I go and do the final suicide mission.
Yeah.
I have played Mass Effect 2 29 times.
What? Have you heard of new video games?
I don't know why. And do you want to hear the worst part?
They're coming out with new video games.
I never finished original Mass Effect.
Oh, well, look, don't feel too bad because I haven't either.
Well, it's the thing. Like, I played Mass Effect 2 first because I had a PlayStation on Xbox. Yep. And then when I tried to go back to original Mass Effect, I was like, I understand how important this was, but it is so busted in compared to 2.
Yeah.
Mass Effect 2, I think, has the best story in a video game. It has the best companions a video game has ever had. Yep. Like, everyone is likable. I play it and I get to switch up who I have with me, except for Jacob, who's a garbage person.
Yeah.
He goes on to be, like, I always laugh in Mass Effect 3 when you're meeting everyone and everyone's like, I'm the head of a school. I'm a deep cover spy. I'm now a general. And then you meet Jacob and he's like, I'm here as a security guard. And I guess I kind of am dating a woman.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, good going, Jacob. You really shot for the stars and landed on the moon.
I've not met a single person who finds Jacob interesting.
They just did really bad writing on him from the get-go. Mm. But yeah, Mass Effect 2. I play it all the time. It is one of my favorite games. I love it.
Who do you romance again? Is it Garrus?
Well, because it has no gay romance.
Oh, yeah.
I do a mix.
All right.
So quite often I romance Jack lovingly.
Mm-hmm.
So I give her redemption through finding companionship and love with another person versus you can also like kind of like hate fuck her.
I wasn't aware of that.
Well, you attempt it early and it's kind of like, if you want to do this, this is all this will be.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it basically shuts you out of proper romance because of that.
Right. And I do remember that now. And yeah, so I'd forgotten.
I love her. I've romanced Tali a couple times. Garrus, because I started playing. So when I started, it was in a stage where I was playing a lot of male Shepard.
Mm.
Then I switched and I'm like female Shepard all the time.
Yeah.
And so obviously Garrus. Like Garrus is
of course
so,
Garrus. He's just pretty sexy.
Never Jacob.
Never Jacob.
I did romance...
Did you ever romance Thane in 3?
Yeah, no. So I did the opening stuff to romance in 2. Because, you know, you could do some groundwork in 2.
Yeah, but you don't lock yourself in. Just like Dragon Age, actually, you can do a bit of groundwork. But...
Yeah, so I did groundwork with Thane in 2, but never actually pulled the trigger and had his amphibious baby.
Oh, my God, it's so sad.
Because then he dies.
Yeah, like spoilers, but yeah.
It's a 10-year-old game.
And also, he tells you that straight up.
Yeah, he's like, I'm dying.
Yeah, this ain't going to last long.
Who else can you romance? Miranda.
Can you romance, what's her name, Ashley, the space racist?
No, because she's in 1.
Right.
And you bump into her in 2, and then you can romance her in 3 if you've done the work. Same with Caden. But here's the funny thing. Out of all those playthroughs, only once have I done a playthrough where the world state has Ashley still alive. Oh. Because I'm like... Screw space racist.
Screw her. Like I don't want her around.
Ashley can go to hell. I have Caden and he's all like, I thought you were dead and you're not. And I'm emotional about this. I think I also love 2 because it has the least amount of Liara Tassoni in it. And I find her so unlikable. But I do love Samara.
Yeah. Who was she again?
The space, space bounty hunter cop woman.
Oh.
Who's hunting her child.
Right, yes, I remember her.
Yeah, it's Samara, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
God, my brain's gone to mush.
Yeah, well, yeah. I tell you what, that is another really big thing about what makes a game replayable is the romances. If there are multiple romances, you're going to want to try them all out, baby. Take them all for a ride.
Except if it's Inquisition and you keep saying you're going to do Giant Bull and I just keep doing Dorian because I just love seeing his bare ass.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were going to say you'd never think of romancing Solas. Well, like, true.
I did try it because I wanted to see what the relationship it was like with all
it's
the stuff that
really
goes on with
romantic,
him.
Romantic, to be honest.
I also did Blackwall once.
Yes, that's also
which is
he's a nice guy, but
I've done Iron Bull once,
and
that was just hilarious.
Yeah.
I will never romance Sarah because Sarah is a garbage character.
okay, now this is where we throw down.
But yeah, no, it's that idea of, again, the choice, being able to try out some different things.
Yeah.
But I think replayability in a game, in a, especially that kind of single player world, is important. There's a lot of new modern games that I'm not going back and replaying.
Yeah.
I thought that Marvel Spider-Man was one of the best games I played last year, and it's up there as one of the icons of gaming for me.
But you never need to touch it again.
I don't. I finished it and went, cool, and walked away.
And I did the same with Mario Odyssey. You know, that was a really fun game, and I finished it, and I'm like, unlike every single other Mario game I've ever played, I do not feel the need to ever touch this again.
Weirdly, I think one that's going to contend for me, and that I might do like yearly returns to, came out this year, is Control.
Oh, yeah.
I've enjoyed Control so much.
That's still on my list.
I've enjoyed Control so much that I feel like I am going to eventually dive back in just so I can experience that world again. Because I find the world very fun to be in.
That's important. One of my biggest things when replaying a game. It's like either the platforming is really fun and I just want to go through the themed levels again, or it's the world I want to experience
exactly.
again.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, Edie, thank you for taking me through some of the games that you replay
and
not judging me too hard.
Oh, I would never judge you for opinions.
Sarah
opinion is very bad.
We can fight off air, but I just, she's in the wrong game. Her character doesn't tie into the issues happening in the game. She belonged in 2 when it was smaller stakes. She's a small stakes character in a big stakes game.
No. Don't get us into this argument.
Yeah, we're going to have this off air. But until next time, guys, be sure to check out all the other podcasts you can listen to. Not always featuring Edie and I bickering about
unfortunately.
Sarah. Okay, unfortunately. I'm sure you all love this. Edie, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I've been Cameron. You've been listening to Checkpoint Intimates. And stay with us and listen to all the other Checkpoint Intimates out there to learn all about our intimate details. Till next time, bye.
You've been listening to Checkpoint Intimates. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate and subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher.